So, my relation with this country started when late President Drinoshek sent Tomo Krishna as envoy from him to invite the different tribal groups. I met him in the field, and I hosted him for some time, and I tried to collect the different rebel groups to at least to come here at that time with Tomo. But before we finished this, the Abuja crisis started, and then I was imprisoned in Kaduli, in Kordofan, for something of about 14 months. Since then, any contact between me and Tomo stopped until he heard that I am imprisoned in Kaduli, so he led some kind of a campaign with other friends around the world to get me out of that jail which was I was put in by the United Nations mission in Sudan, just because I opposed the peace agreement which was achieved in Abuja, because it did not at least address the cause roots of the conflict, and I'm quite sure that will not exist on the ground. And it happened that it did not exist, and since then I was out of reach, except by telephone to Tomo and other friends, until I was released by the pressure built on the government of Sudan and on the United Nations and petitions and some kind of demonstrations that brought me out from Kaduli. Then I started again to contact my friends, among them Mr. Tomo, and I got an invitation to come here to start some kind of leading to raise awareness in Europe that, through promoting the film which was prepared by Tomo and Maya Weiss, I think, and we toured Europe. We were here, we went to Netherlands, we went to this Warsaw together. Mm-hmm. Then I left to Africa. Then again I came here in last winter, and we proceed with the film.
Your visit now here, it is closely correlated to the situation which is taking place in Sudan at the moment. So it is in a wider context the same story, but it is the election and the referendum. So can you describe the situation and the correlation with your visit?
My expectations in Slovenia were raised because of that. I found that most of the people here are aware of the conflict of Darfur, at least following the initiative of late Drinoshek. And even some politicians I met in my last visit, among them the foreign minister and the head of the assembly, I think also we met him last visit. And now we started with some kind of media coalition. Then we met with the foreign affairs committee in the parliament, and then we met with also the foreign minister again. And the whole thing is how to get Europe into the conflict with a joint position, with the power and the weight of the continent, Europe continent, as EU, to have at least a better approach to the conflict.
So maybe there is a very important issue of complete lack of media coverage of the situation in a way. In Slovenia, we got some news through Thomas work, but in Europe there is not much coverage over the situation, or if it is, it's not really objective. And when you were describing the situation, you were mentioning what actually was happening in the time of elections and the bombings and the attacks and so on. Can you say a few words about it?
You know, most of these Europeans are, I think, depending on some sources of Arab media, which is quite biased. And also they also concentrate on what is coming out from the government. They don't have the means or the ways to go deep in the areas where violence is there, as Tomo did before when he was preparing his film, and most of them depending on the media of the government of Sudan. So the other side of the news are completely absent and completely blackened. So if I am to speak about what happened and what is so-called elections happened in Sudan, it was completely a conspiracy. And let us say that even Omar al-Bashir himself was not that much encouraged to make that kind of fruit elections unless he got the green light from the Americans through their envoy, Mr. Sukut Gresham, who told the media that the elections will be fair and free. In a press conference, even before it started, the voting. Then also he was followed by Mr. Carter, who said, the elections may not meet the international criteria, but the international community will accept it. So these gestures gave the genocidists in Khartoum the green light to do whatever they can to stay in power. Omar al-Bashir wants to stay in power to escape the ICC. The Americans, they have their agenda to at least to keep things calm in Sudan until what we call this referendum in January 2011.
So can you tell us why exactly?
Yes, because I think one of the agendas of the Americans is to split the country and to create a weak country to the south, which is dependent to them, to find somewhere to make the presence to counter the attack of the Chinese to the continent. Again, they have also the desire to be there to monitor what is happening in the Horn of Africa, those the violent country which is Somalia, and these who are from there hijacking the what you call the ships in Bab el Mandab, which is between Yemen and Somalia, and they also their intention is to be there in the Sudan, which is now bordering some kind of nine countries in Africa. It's the heart of Africa. From there, it is easy to monitor the heart of Africa. And when you subtract some part of this country, which is in kind of the area-wise, it deserves to be a country. So this is a weak country full of petroleum and it also sit on the water resources to the rest of Sudan and Egypt. So this is where they are trying to base in the Americans to counter this to monitor these three things, to counter the Chinese, and to look after the Horn of Africa, and to have a center where you can observe all over Africa. So this is the desire of the Americans. Chinese, they want only a camp Sudan to go on with their investments. They don't care if al-Bashir in power or other one. But Bashir for them today is a friend. And before they find the other friend, they will not lose the already friend. So these are the what we call their interests, which is not meeting the interest of the Darfurians, which are in need of to stop this ongoing conflict and ongoing suffering of the civilians and the vulnerables in Darfur.
You gave a very strong statement for the interview you gave to for the Slovenian newspaper, and you said it could happen that Sudan will be the place for the war between two superpowers, between China and US. Could you give us a bit wider context?
So these are the intentions and the interests of the Americans. Chinese, they are now backing the government of Sudan, which is in power, and now continued in power for other 5 years by this by the result of these elections. So the Chinese, they want the country calm, just for their investments to continue. While they feel that Sudan, which is bordered by other 9 African countries, is the best place to make a base to go in Africa, everywhere. So the Chinese have their interest, the Americans have their interest, which is not meeting the interest of the Darfurians, who are subjected to some kind of low-profile genocide. And in the case of this, what is happening there, it should be witnessed by some, let us say, by some, at least, outsiders. So, this is the situation now, and I am here to ask the Europeans who are not there in the theater, and they don't have, I don't suspect that they have also agendas like the Americans or the Chinese, and they are now, we don't feel their presence. They are completely absent from the scene.
This could be partly solution,
yes.
Presence.
Their presence and their monitoring. They asked their observers for the elections in Darfur to come back from Darfur because of they fear violence. But after that, they did nothing. They just pulled out their observers and left the fruit elections to go on. And the Americans accepted the result, despite its fruit, and the Chinese kept silent, and we didn't hear even a word from the Europeans. What about this result? Is it fruit, or it is free and fair, and even anything of this? They kept silent. So they are as if they are drawing back.
So this is the criticism, and this is your statement. And maybe, Tomo, now you can explain, because you are organizing the whole visit, you are organizing the meetings and so on, if I understand, where both of you are present. Can you explain, you were in the parliament and you met, you had meetings in foreign ministry. Can you say a few words about the meetings, what actually was happening, what was the response, and what is the plan for meetings in Strasbourg?
I am happy to say that this time we met more sympathetic attention than ever before all these years in Parliament, in the Committee for Foreign Affairs. Franco Juri exposed himself and say that the committee will consolidate and then ask the government for one concrete action. Slovenia, let Slovenia supply the first drilling machine for seeking the water in Darfur. In situation of climatic changes where there's less and less rain, and in situation when the government is bombarding the water resources, that means the wells, just last week...
It's a new strategy.
Well, it's all strategy. We know this from the south of Sudan. The strategy is called scorching earth, or dry the lake to catch the fish. That's the way how they're doing. They take away the water, and then we catch the fish in the water. But now they are doing very systematically in Darfur. So let's help these people, the civilians, who cannot escape to Europe, or they don't want to go to Libya in these concentration camps where Gaddafi is keeping them, so they not proceed the way across Mediterranean. And the people who cannot go to Congo or America or China, who are battling actually here, let's help them to stay there with the machine, with technology for looking the water. So let's teach them how to look for the water. And at the same time, Franco Iuri also supported the idea of video control of the whole Darfur, of the whole area where there are fighting going on, so the world can see and feel the pain of innocents who are now dying there. Every day there are attacks. Suleiman is living in our house, and every day we are getting reports directly on his satellite telephone from the families, from the people in crisis, and from the commanders in battlefields. So the war is going on. It's systematic war. So these negotiations in Qatar are not working at all. Suleiman is actually also, I forget to introduce him, one of the members of GEM who is negotiating there with the Sudanese government. So we got very strong support in the Committee for Foreign Affairs in the Parliament, as in from Foreign Minister Zbogar. He promised to expose the question of Darfur to all other foreign ministers of Europe. Slovenia will ask other countries in Europe, all 27, to support the drilling machines and the video control of Darfur, and political pressure on the Sudanese government to stop this. So we are traveling next week to Strasbourg, where we will meet through our representatives in the European Parliament, the Committee for Foreign Affairs in the European Parliament, where we will try to gain the same support. So this way, we will activate the whole Europe. We are also seeking contact with Václav Havel, who was one of the signatories who signed the petition for Suleiman to be released from this UN prison in Nuba Mountains in 2007. And we are now waiting to get an audience with Madame Baroness Asherton. I think this is the top position where we should have the lecture, and we should have Suleiman Jamuz, humanitarian coordinator, to speak for his people in Darfur.
When you were on the foreign ministry, you mentioned that the cameras that Toma and his friend brought actually have an impact, which is important to hear. So can you say a few words about this action?
You know, as a humanitarian coordinator, I'm very concerned about these vulnerables, women and children and war-affected population, the civilians. And this is my work since I started to rebel against the government of Sudan. Even when I was in SLA, I was also running the same file. And for this case, I'm very contacted to those in the ground while the saying says that if elephants fight, grass will suffer. Those grass people, I'm working with them, and I'm trying to be at least of some help to them. These cameras, we have the, I think the international community knows that we have some kind of 20,000 troops from different countries, and they are brought there by the United Nations and the African Union for the purpose of just protecting the civilians. And that the last contact to them was on the 28th of last month, April, when these government planes bombarded the Girgi-Girgi well in the night, killing some kind of 500 different kinds of livestock and 8 people. We just asked them, and it was, they were asked and addressed by the media, what do you think of the allegation said by the movements that there is an attack and mass killing of livestock and people and innocent people? They just replied that because we don't have soldiers deployed in that area and we don't have the means to go there. The means to go there is the permission from the government of Sudan. So for us, they are, I think, of no use. These, except they are wasting money and wasting time and cheating the international community that there is someone who is monitoring the allegations or the violations going on in Darfur, and they are doing nothing. But the impact of the cameras, they brought from Slovenia by my friend Tomo and his colleague, also a friend, Kaliman Mihalik. We announced that there are hidden cameras which can detect the violators. And we distributed in the camps, especially those these refugee camps around the border, along the border of Chad, the eastern part of Chad. Since then, for these last 2 months, we didn't hear any kind of violation against the vulnerables, because anyone is afraid to be caught by that camera, which he cannot detect. Where is it? He don't know who possesses this camera. So anyone out of these camps is feared because he may possess the camera, which cannot be detected. They cannot see to pick it. So now people are quite calm in at least their daily life. And they are not attacked, they are not harassed, and the violation which is happening against them stopped. Now we are going to distribute others to those who are inside the country, around the major towns of Darfur, for the same thing. So these cameras are much ahead and much better than these 20,000 troops, and they are consuming some kind of millions and millions of dollars every day. This camera of $10 or 10 euros is more efficient than the whole number of the troops brought by the international community and paid for.